everyone. Welcome back to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon from GetMealPlans.com. This is the 14th episode in season two, and I have a really fun, awesome guest. The universe tried to keep us apart, but today we are together and we are going to rock this episode. So before I spill any more beans, let me just welcome Karen before the universe tries to separate us again. Hey, Karen.
Hey, Lindsay. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad we're finally together. I've been looking forward to talking with you all week. So why don't we start off and you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I am a huge fan of you, Lindsay. You, without knowing it, you've held my hand through this process. I became vegan when I was in Moscow, Russia. I was doing a 1 year teaching English. And I discovered veganism through compassion. You know, it was just a way for me to kind of build my compassion muscle. But I had never cooked before. Like, I've never done anything in a kitchen. So I was like, I love animals, want to be vegan, do not know what to eat. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a lot of reading and researching, and I came across some of your blogging. I don't remember all the details because it was about 8 years ago now. And so it was just a rocky journey for a long time. I started off as a junk food vegan, you know, like you mentioned many mm-hmm. times, you know, Oreos are accidentally vegan. And in Russia, there was a lot of accidentally vegan food. And so that wasn't a problem. And then I came back to the States and I still wanted to get, you know, healthy. And I discovered the whole foods way really about 4 years ago. And that's when I started subscribing to you. And I literally, my kitchen was always bare. I didn't know anything. And I actually had some like kitchen anxiety. Like if I had one missing ingredient, like I would have a complete meltdown. Like I did not know what to do.
Oh my God. This is so, every time you're telling my story right now. Like you're so telling my story.
So I feel like we're kindred spirits. I'm like, yes! I totally understand.
This is literally my story. I was a junk food vegan. If I didn't have enough cumin, I would like break down and cry in my pantry.
Right? And it's like, why? And my mom would always be like, oh, you just throw in this and throw in that.
Right.
And,
oh, you those intuitive substitute. Cooks.
Exactly. So with your help, I kind of started learning just to read recipes. Like I wouldn't even cook. I would just read recipes, like front to back, you know, I'd buy a cookbook.
Wait, like a novel?
Read it like a book. Yeah. Like
I would be like,
okay, trying to get, you know, the gist of like what people are trying to do there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, started to be like, okay, just start with one recipe. I would go and I would buy everything. And I would measure everything to the T.
This reminds me of me. I held recipes captive so hard. I was like, oh my God, one extra little bit. Oh no.
Exactly. I was like, that's it. It's over. And if I did make a mistake, it was done.
Yeah.
You know, my husband mm-hmm. was like, yeah, the meltdowns, you know, and he's like, all right, I'm just going to go outside for a walk while you figure this out. Yeah.
But so I think a lot of people are that way. I think a lot of people feel this way. And I'm really glad you brought it up because that was my story too. I didn't know how to mm-hmm. cook at all. I was totally scared, freaked out. The few times I had tried to cook, it went so badly. So I was like traumatized mm-hmm. and my friends made fun of me in college. And so I had so much anxiety, but my husband was like, you're vegan. I don't know what to make for you. If you want to eat, you need to cook. And I was like, I don't know. And I was just like you, I would like, my hands would shake as I was measuring the lemon juice because I was like, what if I put in too much lemon juice?
Exactly.
And now I don't measure at all. I'm kind of like, yep, whatever. But I think everyone goes through that when they don't know, when they're adults and they never knew how to cook, never learned how to cook. I think that anxiety and that fear, that holding recipes, captive, I think that's normal. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad you brought that up. But I was like, she's telling my story. She's literally telling my story. We are twins. We are kindred spirits.
Yeah, we totally are. I was like, yes, somebody understands, you know. And the forums have been amazing because everyone asks amazing questions. And I'm still a little bit shy and I don't always want to post something. So I'm like, I'm so glad that person asked that. But totally can relate.
That's a really good point. If you are, and a lot of people don't go to the forums because they're shy. And I'm like, guys, that's where you want to go when you are shy, because someone else always is saying or asking what you're thinking. You don't have to do it.
Exactly.
You can just kind of ghost around and lurk. Because I'm like such a shy introvert, which I know people never believe, but it's so true. But I do it. I lurk around in the forums. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad someone brought that up. Now I can read what everyone else says.
So perfect. Oh, that's awesome.
Now, I heard you, but I don't think anyone else probably caught it. You lived in Russia and you were vegan? You've got to tell us about this, girl.
So I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and so being vegetarian or vegan is not like a huge deal. But my family, we immigrated from Kazakhstan, and so we were not vegetarian, and we didn't know much about that. And so my own family was kind of leaning towards vegetarian, but my community was very much vegetarian. When I went to Moscow, Russia, they, because of their culture, they're not as vegetarian, even though Seventh-day Adventists a lot of times are.
Right. Yeah, I know that's kind of like a division within the religion kind of church community.
Right. Because it's more like, you know, focus on health. And a lot of times in the United States, they do a lot of substitutes. And they just were not accessible in, at the time, communist Russia. Mm-hmm. And so they were still progressing. And, you know, they're getting more on board with, you know, a health message kind of thing. But yeah, I was just trying to learn more about food I was eating. I was having a lot of health challenges. I've battled with my weight since I was like 12. And I'm really tall though, so nobody ever said anything. You know, they're just kind of, they always say, you know, oh, you're tall, you can afford, you know.
Oh, you're just a bigger person. You've got big bones. I heard all that too.
Exactly. Yeah, they just don't, you know, but I wasn't comfortable with it. And then also my memory was just terrible. Like I would read so much and then not remember what I read. Just I would just remember how I felt about it. You know, like that's not normal. And then I was reading about how diet can connect to your, you know, your health, your memory, and just reading the literature that our church puts out, as well as starting to read more medical stuff, you know, put out by different doctors. And I stumbled across Colleen Patrick-Goudreau's podcast.
I love that podcast.
Yeah. And I just loved her message of compassion. And I just grew up in a really, you know, I had four brothers, so it's pretty tough. So compassion wasn't like our MO at all.
Yeah, because teasing and picking and making fun is the boy language. There's no compassion.
Exactly. It's more about, you know, competition. There's no compassion. And so, yeah. And I just, they had like in their grocery store, their cheese aisles would be longer than their bread aisle. I mean, it was just, there was so much different kind of dairy. And so looking through it, I would find tofu, and it kind of had a feta type of texture to it. So I would do that. And a lot of their breads are very simple, you know, just the grain, yeast, water and oil. At the time I had oil. And so just very basic, and it was really nice. And then when I became vegan, I'm such a outgoing personality, I wanted to tell everybody.
Oh, of course. And I was that way too.
Yeah. Like, no. And so when I mean everybody, like everybody, I put together a PowerPoint presentation and did and held like a lecture.
No, you did not.
There was like 150 people.
Oh my God,
you are
so cute, amazing. But at the same time, I'm like, this had to have gone so badly.
I was just like, people want to know because I wanted to know. Right. So of course everybody wants to know. So like I had this huge presentation about, you know, coming from the animal side, coming from our health side, coming from even the scripture side, you know, just like an awakening kind of thing. And lots of people were like, this is, you know, amazing. I've never heard this before. Other people were like, you're crazy.
Yep.
But I was like, just take it or leave it, people, but you need to know.
Right. So. You're going to know. You're going to know.
Yeah. You cannot claim ignorance. All right. That's all I'm saying.
I think so a lot of people feel that way too. Like, especially when you feel like, I know I was angry. Like, I can't believe that this is not mm-hmm. widespread. I can't believe I was lied to mm-hmm. and duped and misled in my government yes. to protect me. And I was like, mm-hmm. I need to tell people it's a public service. And so even though yeah. I was so compassionate about the animals when I was finding out what was happening to the animals and even in the environment mm-hmm. and even what happens to workers on farms. So like I had all this mm-hmm. anger and all this new knowledge. And I was like, oh, all these people didn't know. Like, I didn't know. They were in the dark.
Yeah.
I need to show the light. And it comes from this place of such compassion and good nature and wanting to help. But then you forget that maybe not everyone else is ready to hear your message.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, I can't yeah. forget the fact that I had my journey mm-hmm. and I was not letting anybody else have theirs.
Right. Exactly. was... And it's like you, and then you get frustrated and mad because you're like, why aren't they listening? But we all just become so passionate and we want to help. And it's such a good place that we come from. But we, like you said, we forget other people need to take the steps that we took.
Yeah. So I made myself really unhappy that way. Mm-hmm. I made my, you know, and not any enemies because everyone else around me was very, very kind towards me. And I was just the one being frustrated. And I remember mm-hmm. someone wise once said, they're like, if you look around and everyone else is fine, but you're having a hard time, then you need to fix something. Everyone else is fine. They're okay. You know, if you're the one unhappy and even though someone else is doing something to make you unhappy, if they're happy, then they don't have a problem. The problem is on you. I was like, okay, you know, I need to start doing something different. And I met my amazing husband a year later and he is an omnivore and, he has been a huge part in helping me find that balance of letting people be on their own journey while being very happy with my journey, you know, being very committed to where I'm coming from. And, you know, I do feel very confident that information I have is accurate and I have no problem, you know, discussing it or debating it. If the moment arises, with people who really want to be like, okay, yeah, let's take a look at these pointers, but also be okay with someone saying, oh, it's not for me. And I'll be like, okay, that's cool. I mean,
yeah. And I think, you know, you have to live your life. Absolutely. And I think that's part of it. And I've heard it a lot on this podcast with other co-pilots. And what I end up saying is you're leading by being compassionately quiet. If you're just loving your life and you're happy and you're having a great time, mm-hmm. people are going to be attracted to it. And a lot of times when our health improves, I know, and yours did, and we're going to get to that, mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. the results speak for themselves and people are curious. They want to know why your skin looks so amazing or why you're so happy or peppy, or even they'll get curious in what you're eating. And that's what happened to me. I was a total mm-hmm. vegangelical. I was sending animal slaughter videos to every person I knew. I was posting constantly mm-hmm. on Facebook and I was like, friends mm-hmm. were dropping like flies. And I was so frustrated yeah. and mad all the time. And I'm like, why am I letting, because you can't ever be upset without, you know, you have to give someone permission to upset you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That like right. you do it yourself. It's all you. You are allowing that mm-hmm. those feelings, as you were saying, like if you're the one that's unhappy, that's on you. So I was like, that's it. Mm-hmm. This vegan exactly. plant-based thing is going to be what I do to feel good about myself and feel right with my morals and my beliefs and my health. And it's going to be the warm fuzzy in my pocket and that's whatever. Exactly. Everybody else can do their own thing. And that's when everything changed for me. All my friends became curious.
That's awesome.
Just like, I mean, that's how wow. it is. And it's like you pull back and then they come to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you become a safe person. That's mm-hmm. the way I view it. You become a person that they can fail in front of because there's less judgment. Whereas otherwise, I tended to come across like I had it all put together. And that would frustrate me as well. I'd be like, no, I have problems too. And they're like, well, you sure don't act like it.
Yeah, you know? Right? Yeah.
So it's like, oh, oh, that makes sense. You know, if you come across as a know-it-all, people don't think that you don't know it all. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point about that whole know-it-all thing because no one likes that. Which is like, no. we all want to mm-hmm. show that we're smart and intelligent. We know things, but no one likes people that are know-it-alls. And it's so true. And so it's like this competing thing where we want to like prove ourselves. And then at the same time, it bites us in the bottom. But so with me, I have all of these friends that I've met through yoga or just other ways that don't necessarily know what I do for work. And so I've
right.
kind of not said anything, just mostly out of an experimentation. And it's been amazing because now it's been over a year and people have kind of figured me out on their own, whether they friended me on Facebook or they found me on Instagram. They ended up figuring out what I do, and I knew a lot about food. And slowly but surely, they've all been kind of like texting and asking questions like, hey, I've been having muscle cramps. Is there something I can eat to fix that? And so it's really interesting how just almost being a little mysterious makes them even more interested. And then you're coming on their terms. They're welcoming
and
you.
I don't know about you, but I always now have a little disclaimer. I'm like, you know, I'm not a doctor. You know what I'm like? I do know my fruits and vegetables, but, you know, I don't know everything. And people are like, oh, it's fine. I just, you know, how would you do it? You know, and so it's a very different approach with people. I totally agree. And people are a lot more open. And then also, you know, we're not dependent on their actions. So if they choose not to take our advice, it's like, it's fine. Whereas before, it's almost like you're hanging on, like, okay, if they do this, you know, there's a direct link to you. Or if they don't, it's more like, hey, this is some information. And if you want it, great. And if you find it doesn't work for you, okay. You know, like there's this freedom. And, you know, so people can kind of take a little bit here and a little bit there if they want. And hopefully their lives get better for it. And you're absolutely right. It's awesome when you do it on their terms. And I know that's the way I want to be treated as well. It's like this reminder.
And that's sort of what your whole journey was, is you know, found out some information and then you just kept learning more on your terms.
Exactly. And I'm always going to be me. I'm always going to be that person that's going to read another book. I mean, I think I read more like heavy books than most people. Most people like novels, which are great. But, you know, I'm always reading like textbook kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's just me. And so people are starting to see me as a resource person.
That's awesome.
So, oh, you know, Karen probably has read that book. Just talk to Karen, you know?
Well, that's good because I'm going to start a research podcast and I'm going to remember this. And we'll have to trade some book notes and maybe you can end up helping me out a little bit there. I'll make you be on that podcast too.
You're hilarious. I'll be like, actually, my good friend Lindsay knows these things. I'll just refer you back. And, you know, that's how it's awesome. You know, everybody's got their strengths. You know, I have some friends that are really good with the community. They're really connected with a lot of people, and that's their strength. You know, they know everybody's story. And I'm like, that's amazing. And so if you have all these variety of people in your life, it becomes full, you know? So totally. Very awesome.
And one thing, and you mentioned this briefly before, is, you know, you and I have been together for about 8 years, and I know your whole transition was about 4 years, and you've been with Meal Mentor for a really long time. I think, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
But it really has been a journey for you. And that's what I try to tell people all the time. I'm like, you guys are looking at me 10 years in.
Yes. And you're amazing 10 years in, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Well done. Well done. Seriously. And it's been so humbling to see you be transparent with us. I mean, I think that's the most awesome thing. Anyone that I talk to about you referring to, you know, using your resources, that's always something I mention. I'm like, you're not going to meet a more transparent person that doesn't think that they're perfect and has all the answers, but they sure do have quite a few and a community there. And I think that you're such an asset to this whole movement.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that.
Non-judging.
Yeah. I do think there is, and I know in the first episode of this season with Chrysanthi, we talked about how a lot of times, you know, there is this pressure to be perfect, and people always expect perfection, and even not just in like the plant-based vegan world, but even just our friends on Facebook, it's people are always sharing the best, and I get that, like who wants to share like the worst, but it starts to alter reality, and you have to think like, well, geez, does no one ever get a zit on their nose?
Right.
Does nobody ever struggle? Why am I always, because I know I always feel alone. I'm like, am I the only one that's really struggling right now? Like, I want to eat all the dehydrated mango in Trader Joe's. Everyone who listens to this podcast knows this is my struggle in life. Like, is it just me? But every time I'm honest about it, so many other people are like, me too. Just their own form, like their variation. But I'm like, oh, we have to be real. We have to be real.
Exactly. It's such a disservice when we're not. And that's a challenge I face a lot. I mentioned earlier, again, I'm tall. I'm not like, well, actually I am. I love being tall. But a lot of people just put you in a different category. Like, if you put yourself well, you know, put on, you know, do your hair, do your makeup, dress well, and smile, people want to assume things are wonderful. Like, there's almost like a human desire for someone to have it perfect. And, you know, so when people approach me sometimes, you know, I love to run. I love doing really long distances. And so, you know, I post on that and they just assume my world is perfect. And like you said, it's so helpful to, when you meet them face to face, to be like, no, you know, I struggle. You know, I readily admit that I'm a food addict. I'm an emotional eater. I have, you know, Lindsay here holding my hand in the kitchen, you know, like, I'm like, there's a lot. I have a support group to get me through the things, but it's not perfect. And it's still not easy for a lot of people to hear that. Like, there's almost like a desire to meet somebody that's like, yeah, I have it all figured out. And you're like, finally, I've met you, you know. I haven't met that person yet. No, but you're pretty good in the kitchen. I would say you're doing really well there.
It's so funny because, and, you know, Carly and Beth can attest to this too, but especially my husband, Scott, people will be at like book signings or meetups and people will come up to Scott and they're just beaming and they're like, gosh, it must be so amazing to live with Lindsay. You must get to eat so much amazing food. And he's like, she gets it wrong sometimes.
I love it. I love it so much.
It's so funny because they're just like, their dream image just got popped because he's like, no, sometimes it's bad. It's like real bad.
Right? Right? People tell that to my husband now too, because thanks to you, people are like, man, you're a really good cook. And I'm still like, okay, sure. Okay, that's cool. I'll take it. And then they come up to my husband and they're like, you're so lucky. And my poor husband, you know, he's an omni and he enjoys most of the things I make. But yeah, there's definitely things where he's like, honestly, this can use some cheese. This really needs more hot sauce. So this really could use, you know, and he's very sweet and kind and he'll never like be rude or anything about it. But I'm always like, no, don't say that to him. Just don't put him in that kind of a spot. That's not helpful.
Yeah. I like keep running. Yeah, I totally get that. I keep running into the office. I'm like, guys, I just created the best thing ever. And they're like, what? What is it? I'm like, this is so awesome. It's going to be a game changer. And they're like, okay, just tell us. What is it? I'm like, I put hummus and mustard on a rice cracker. And they're like, you're gross. Like, their faces were horrified. They're like, don't ever share that. Stop talking. And I was like, okay, well then, noted.
But I think your ability to just even try it is amazing. I found, especially in the beginning, I would see like the ingredients and I'm like, I really trust Lindsay. I'm going to do exactly what it says because it does not make sense to me at all. And my husband like looks over my shoulder. He's like, that doesn't look good, you know? And I'm like, Lindsay, try this. Okay. So we're going to try it. And then, you know, we put it together and 9 out of 10 times we were blown away because it's all about like the flavor profile, how it comes together. Even if like you test things out on its own, you know, this ingredient, we're like, huh, it's not. But when you put it together, we're like, wow, who would have thought? Well, Lindsay did. And I know you're an amazing team too, but that's a really cool part of your personality that you're willing to just try out different flavor profiles. And, you know, some are going to be misses, but a lot of them are hits. I think that's amazing.
You know, someday I'll do that. Yeah. And that's what I tell people. I'm like, you don't have to want to eat everything. You don't have to like every single thing. I don't make every single meal on the meal plan all the time because there's things that I don't like or my husband doesn't like. That's the whole thing about being human and having our own preferences. It's not one size fits all. But more often than not, I find I usually like something. And even if I wasn't sure if I make it, I end up being glad that I did.
I'm right there with you. That's exactly it. And I feel like I've explored more cultural cuisines that I would have never explored if I hadn't had these meal plans. Like,
right.
I would have stuck to some basic, you know, pasta or a root, you know, because in Russia we do a lot of the, you know, the potatoes and the turnips and things like that. And I find myself, my palate is expanding so quickly. And I feel like it makes me almost more of a global citizen. I can relate to people on another level. that other people may not be able to. So I think that's really cool that we have that as an option.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I feel so well-rounded when Siri was on the podcast earlier this season, and she was also on season one too. You know, she's originally from India. And so before I was plant-based and before the meal plans, I'd never had Indian food. And if you'd asked me, I'd have said something horribly stereotypical, like, ooh, I don't like curry or something. But but then I was with the meal plans, I was like forced to get out of my comfort zone. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to try it. And now Indian cuisine is not only one of my favorite things to eat, it's probably my favorite cuisine to cook. I love to cook Indian food, if for no other reason, because it uses the same 10 ingredients. And depending on how you use them, it's a completely different dish. And it's always from my pantry. So it's probably my favorite cuisine. But I just remember talking to her thinking, gosh, there was a point in my history that long ago that I would not have been able to have this amazing conversation with this amazing woman from another country and really appreciate her culture. But I do now. I have that.
Yeah. That is so cool.
And so it's like, I get to share that with her. I don't know.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's so fun. And there's a lot of times I feel that way because I grew up, my family was all first generation, either Italian, Polish, or German, depending on which, you know, lineage we're picking. And so those are the foods that I grew up eating. And we didn't really eat a whole lot of American food, but I did have exposure to, you know, pizza and cheeseburgers, things like that, just from growing up in America and going to birthday parties. And then I met my husband, whose family is very deeply Southern. And so between the two of us, that was all we ever knew. Like, I had never heard of Ethiopian. I don't think I'd ever had Asian food outside of like the place in the mall, which doesn't count. And I just think if it wasn't for the meal plans and plant-based, there's all these things I probably never would have tried. And I love.
It's so awesome because I, even now when my husband's like, let's go to a restaurant, and I'm like, we can make anything we want and I can have all of it. Let's just do that. You know?
Well, like tonight, I was just thinking about this. Some friends of ours are coming over and they're bringing this French movie. And they're like, Lindsay, would you mind making French cuisine? I know it's probably hard to be vegan. And I was like, well, actually. And I went onto my Google Drive and I searched and I had 10 different French recipes just from the meal plans to pick from. I'm like, I'm going to show them. I'm like three. But
that's,
I was like,
awesome.
On demand. I literally, they called me this morning and I've already made it.
Perfect. Wow.
I'm like ready to go after the podcast and be like, here's your French food, people, eat it. No, but I am really excited. But I was like, that's right. I never would have tried French food ever. Probably never even would have gone to France. It's just my life changed in so many ways. Anyway, yes,
that's
Russia.
Really cool.
Russia, my family and I are actually going to finally go. It's one of the few places I haven't been. And we're doing one of those Nordic cruises where you end in Russia. So it'll be really exciting.
Ooh.
Yeah. But
sounds like fun.
Yeah. But not about me. You mentioned briefly that you're a runner. And I know you're like a super long distance runner. And a lot of our members are runners. So I'd love to talk to you about that a little bit.
Sure. I don't know how much I can help with that. But yeah, I just kind of wing it.
Yeah. So one thing I know when I used to run marathons is I would try to eat like those goos and stuff, but they always gave me stomach rot. And when I think Sarah was on the podcast, she said that she was carrying potatoes, but of course there's a limit to that. So I suggested dates as like a refuel snack. Do you have any good things that work?
You know, I've tried all three.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of the goos because I would have to bring my own because they're usually not vegan.
Right.
And then, but I would only use them when I raced. I actually would usually run in a fasted state because I run so slow. I'm just cruising. So I would run in a fasted state, but then on the longer miles, I would end up crashing really bad. So that's when I started doing the potatoes. And I would just literally like bake a potato, slice it up, put it in a little Ziploc baggie and put it in my pouch. And I would just nibble on it as I went. So I've loved that. And then,
so you would just like take out a little piece as needed?
Yeah, like I would take out a slice. So because I didn't need to fuel a lot for what I was doing. Again, I ran pretty slow. I preferred to just go the longer distance. And then a lot of times my husband cruised for me. And so if I needed more, he would just, you know, replenish my stash of potatoes. But
that's,
I got
awesome.
That idea from you. Yeah. And then I've heard people using, you know, bananas and dates. I just find I don't have much of a sweet tooth when I run, and I prefer more of the savory.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
It's been potatoes. Yeah, but if the run is going to be 2 hours or less, I usually do it in a fasted state. I don't get hungry. I just bring water. But I don't think that's normal for most people. So I'm always like,
well, I think it also depends, like you said, on how fast you're running. Because like I go hiking for hours and I go snowboarding for hours in a fasted state. But I think if I was like running real fast, like if I was a serious athlete, well, I guess you're always serious. But if I was like a fast runner, really going through my glycogen, then I probably would want something else. But exactly. I'm like you. Well, I'm so slow that I'm like, yeah, I'm not competitive. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not competitive. I'm so slow that I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I mean, I snowboard with potatoes, but I could probably go the whole day without having one if I realistically.
Yeah, I just know the recovery process is much quicker if you do have something, because your body doesn't like freak out and just try to shut down by putting you to sleep.
You need to recover
somehow. Yeah, so for me right now, my go-to is potatoes. And I love the Yukon Gold potatoes because they taste pretty buttered to me.
And they're nice and small too. So they're little guys, poppables, I like to call them. I'm a tiny potato.
Awesome.
And I believe you can do all the things. I love that meme. Anyway, so I know one other thing, because you and I are so connected on many levels, is we've both also struggled with overeating and emotional eating.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And I'm so sorry. Just from one emotional eater and overeating.
I know. Together. I want to like reach through the phone and just hug you and be like, I understand.
I totally understand.
Just like, I'm going to put my arms out right now. Okay. There we go.
Oh, all right. Okay.
But no, and that was one thing too that I think I was always kind of an emotional eater. But what I think I know for me is I always assumed that emotional eating meant like, oh, I got dumped. Let's go eat a pan of brownies, which I definitely did that. But I found that it's in times of happiness and celebration, I also emotionally eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like it's an ongoing thing. Or recently I've noticed, or especially around lunchtime, I'm like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm gonna go eat lunch, but really I just don't want to do my work.
Yeah,
I'm not really suddenly hungry at 11 today. I just don't want to do the work.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. I find myself connecting in that way as well, but I think for myself it's a little bit more due to the fact that I'm an extreme extrovert. Like, I know you can't be 100% extrovert, but I'm basically 99%. So I get my energy from being around people.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people in my life are introverts.
Oh.
And so they want to be by themselves. And I'm like, I want to be with you. And they're like, we need a break.
Right,
and
right.
So they're like, I just need to go read a book by myself. And so from moving around a lot, and then I also struggled with depression. And I think this is all connected a bit. Starting from a young age, we just didn't go out much. We didn't have a lot of community. You know, we immigrated from Kazakhstan. It used to be part of the USSR in 89. So my family moved to the United States. We didn't speak English, joined a new community of believers. We changed our religious affiliation from one Christian denomination to another. And our family decided that that meant that they should not talk to us at all. So we became isolated very quickly. So our Russian community didn't communicate with us, and then we couldn't communicate in English. And so we were very alone. And even though we had an American community that we became a part of, it was still kind of tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't get a lot of this. You know, even though I have over 50 first cousins, I have a huge family. I'm not close
with any
of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You totally took my big fat Greek wedding to a whole new level.
Oh yeah. I don't know all their names. I'm so sorry, cousins. I love you, but I just don't know all of you.
Oh my God.
And that's just on my mom's side.
You're Russia. Your family is Russia.
That's right. That is, we know everybody. So I think that I just found myself alone a lot. And because I get my energy from people, your body also gets energy from food. And I think that was just like a switch maybe my body made.
God,
it's like, let me
mind.
Get my energy.
Yes. Yeah. You're totally
so
blowing my mind, but yes.
To get more.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm still finding that I've moved around quite a bit in the past my husband and I have been married 7 years. We've lived in, right before we got married, we were living in Colorado. Then we lived in Washington State. And then South Carolina, and we just moved to North LA. And so the constant moving, it's, you know, you have to kind of rebuild your community. And so I find myself still finding moments where I'm just feeling drained. Like mm-hmm. I just, because I'm not around people, and that the food becomes much more attractive, and it becomes like my brain kind of shuts off, like the part that has control, and like the subconscious just kind of comes up, and it's like, and I can't get full. Like I could eat like 2 large pizzas by myself and still want more.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I think this is not hunger. I don't think this is normal. So, that's when I was like, I've become more aware of that. And so I'm been working on addressing it bit by bit.
That is a really, I'm my mind is blown. I almost can't even talk about getting energy from people, but you're getting energy from food, because I was just talking about, you know, pleasure is, we get pleasure from food and sex. And so I was saying, well, now a lot makes sense to me, because some people, you know, everyone's sex drive is different. And a lot of people I know have that struggle with emotional eating or overeating. They tend to have a lower libido. And people always assume, well, maybe their lower libido is because, you know, maybe they're overweight and they don't feel comfortable in their body. But then when I talk to the people, I definitely don't get that sense. And I'm like, oh, they're getting their pleasure from food, so they're not getting it from another place. But that, why wouldn't that also apply with energy? If you're the type of person that gets energy from, I don't know, exercise or being around other people, and then you take that away.
Yeah.
But you also get energy for food. So it's the same thing. You're just flipping to option B.
Exactly. So I have to be more proactive in, you know, finding running buddies and plugging myself into the community. And I really enjoy being out and about in the community, but it's kind of hard to get started. I feel like college was such a bridge to everything, you know. In college, you get to make instant friends and all that, and then you take it away unless you're with a company, with a, you know, a specific, you know, with coworkers. Really, how do you build a community? Like, how do you get involved? And you have to slowly go through, you know where you worship or where you choose to exercise, and if you have family. So it's like you have to kind of build your own infrastructure all over again. And I'm finding that's pretty common for a lot of people. Like, so many people have moved away from their families, or moved away from their support groups. And I think that's a big challenge that a lot of people are facing.
No, absolutely. Especially now in this day and age where, you know, it used to be, you know, when our parents were growing up, that you would have this job and you'd stay at that job for, you know, 30 years until you retired, and you lived in the same house for 40 years. That's just not our reality anymore, not with our modern society. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't want to move, you often end up having to because of jobs or whatever. And, it's so true that you bring that up, because like college, I went to a college out of state. I didn't know anyone. I was 8 hours from home, but I had Insta friends because I had a roommate and I had a dorm. And then there were all these classes and you're first to work in groups. And so there's just like instant friends everywhere you go. And then I, you know, went to law school. It was the same situation. And then after law school, I went and I worked at a big firm. And again, it was Insta friends. Oh, I'm friends with all the other lawyers and their spouses and blah, blah, blah. But then when I started Happy Herbivore, I was literally on Man One Island alone, because my husband was still going to his job. And I literally made friends with the lady at 7-Eleven, because I started going there every day to get coffee or water or an apple, just like to see other humans and get out of the house.
Yeah.
And then she quit. The cashier quit her job at 7-Eleven because she got a job somewhere else. And I remember I went and she wasn't there. And I'm like, oh, you know, we're so-and-so. And they're like, oh, she quit. And I came home and I was sad. And my husband's like, something is wrong. Like, you cannot be this upset over the lady quitting at 7-Eleven. I'm like, but she was my water cooler coworker.
Right. Oh.
And
I can totally relate.
Yeah. And I was living in a new city where I really didn't know anybody. And so I was like, can you make me a friend at your job? And my husband's like, I work with all dudes. So then I joined a yoga class, and I was like, great, I'm going to meet people at yoga. But it took like a year to make friends, because you have to like build up that facial recognition. Because even if you say hi, it takes so, but yeah, I think that's why I am always in the forums and talking to other mentors, other meal mentor users, because I'm like, I have no coworkers except for Scott, Carly, and Beth, them now, but for a long time, I didn't even have them.
Right.
And so,
ways to make it work. You know, we have to. Like you said, I would put it on my husband. My husband's a firefighter. He has an instant.
Instant friends.
With sisters too. But, you know, like a hood right away. And I'm all like, we need to like get together with people, but he would always be working like in the next town over. So it was inconvenient. But I was like, you know what, Karen, you need to take responsibility for yourself. You know, no one's going to do this for you. And it's not like a pity party. Boo-hoo, no one's going to do it for you. Well, at first it was, to be honest.
Right.
But then it became an empowerment thing. Oh, wow, I get to be in control of this. If I want more friends, I'm going to go find friends. And I'm going to find them the quality I want. You know, I want friends that are healthy. I want friends that contribute to the relationship. I want friends that leave me. Kind of like when I was reading your minimalist book, you know, even in your relationships, you know, that you feel that almost, you know, replenished being with them and not depleted.
Yes.
And then offering that to other people. Cause if I'm depleted, the next person I meet, there's not much I can give. And so then I'm, providing a deficit for them. So finding ways to not only have energy, but to be able to give it to other people so we can be positive for someone else and build relationships that way. And so it's become empowering. Started off as a huge crutch and woe is me. And that would be something I would like walk around the house saying, woe is me. Just to try to find humor in it.
Yeah. I'm really glad you brought up finding like positive people, because that's a good point too, is even if you don't move to a place you don't know, or even if you are at a job with 1,000 Insta friends, they might not share the same beliefs, goals, etc. as you. And that happens to a lot of members, even though they are already immersed in this large pool of family or friends, maybe they're not being so accepted because they've changed, they've rocked the boat. They're not connecting. And so they feel incredibly alone, even though they're not technically alone. So it's the same thing.
Exactly.
And sometimes that could be worse, because you're like, oh, you know, I mean, it's like I'm alone, but I'm not.
Yeah, that's a really tough one, and it's hard. And that's, you know, another part of living. All of a sudden, your empathy circle gets larger and larger, and you start realizing that. Someone once said one time, everybody's cup is full; they just have different size cups. And so from now on, you know, from then on, I was like, man, you know, everyone's at their max. It's just not comparing to me.
Right.
It's just their story. You know, they're in their story, and it's tough. Life is super tough. And it's nice to have people just come up and be like, I get it. I don't completely understand everything you're going through, but I can relate to the fact that it's tough.
Right.
And that's okay. You know?
And that's one thing I've learned too, is I don't want all of my friends to be exactly like me. I often say I want a colorful crayon box, because I do think that those differences help reinforce, you know, how you feel about yourself or what you think. And it's good to be challenged from time to time. And it's boring not to have the same. But at the same time, I think it's a very human nature to want to be understood and to be able to directly connect with someone.
Yeah.
And if you have, you know, a place of faith, that's often a lot of times where, you know, you can meet people and connect. But even then, again, I know, you know, for me, people of my faith doesn't necessarily are vegetarian. So I can still be really alone there. But yeah, you do have to, life is hard. And
it is. And
we need to say that more. Life is hard. Let's not pretend
it's just tough. It really is tough. And I, you know, I am blessed to have a worldwide church that I can plug into. So when I was in Russia, I knew which church I could go to, and I even saw faces there that I had met in the United States. It was really cool. And so no matter where I've lived, I've been able to find a Seventh-day Adventist community. But what's interesting is that everyone also has their own walks in it. And so even though a lot of these individuals have been exposed to what we call the health message of ways to better your life, not everyone has decided to incorporate it. and or some people decide to incorporate, but for very different reasons or at a completely different level, you know. So you do find a lot of variances. And yeah, it's just all about coming along and finding people that you feel are growing in their journey. And I feel that way anyways, that they're growing. And so you feel like this is a comfortable person to grow with or grow in that direction. So even if they're not at the same place. And yeah, so that's been a huge blessing. I just moved to Camarillo, California, and they have a very active group of people that are interested in health. And so I've been reading about veganism and then plant-based diet and just all about a healthy lifestyle for so long. I feel like I had so much information, and now finally there's an outlet for it. You know, I get to come along to people and be like, hey, yeah. And then because they have questions, you know, and I'm always offering, and no one's taking me up on it, but everyone thinks it's a great idea. I'm like, when I go grocery shopping, you can come with me. You can see like how to just maneuver a grocery store. And so they're like, man, that would be kind of helpful. So I'm trying to find ways to like just be there for people. Like, because I was there, struggled so much. You know, the hours spent reading labels, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just going from one item to the next. And then thankfully, you know, with being a whole food individual, you just spend most of your time in the produce aisle anyway. But you still want, you know, a treat here and there, and just how to maneuver that. And being able to pay that forward has been really awesome. And I feel like having done the meal plans has slowly progressed me to this. And, you know, I would literally just take your, whatever you send out on Tuesday night, I get it Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, and I would just follow it to a T. Like it or not like it, I was getting everything on that and I was just going to cook it. Because I just needed to get into a routine of how to get in the kitchen, how to cook these different, like I didn't even know how to steam, how to boil. I mean, I was a mess, complete mess. And it was very difficult for me. And that's another challenge that I have that can be a gift as well. I'm very rule oriented. I need every step laid out. And so I do a lot of research to understand. And, you know, I'm like hoping one day I'll be able to just put some spices in my hand and throw it into the pot. Like, nope, right now it's all, everything's being measured to the T, you know, the scale, like it's just, it, you know, I'm following everything still to the T, but I'm hoping to eventually get to that point where I can be comfortable enough to just throw some ingredients together. But other people, they just do that right off the bat. And I think that's amazing.
I think it's also a matter of what makes you feel comfortable. I mean, if you feel more comfortable and confident by following it to a T, then that's what you should do. Other people feel more comfortable just kind of being more expressive and not so rigid or structured or however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
For me, you know, I, for a long time, I felt very comfortable, just like things had to be lined up neatly in a box. You know, that's I'm very OCD in that way. And that's, even though I don't necessarily cook that way anymore, the rest of my life is still like that. Whereas a lot of my other friends are, they're just like, I don't understand why you're getting so much anxiety over going to the movies. I'm like, I just need to know what we're doing after so I can plan my outfit appropriately. They're just
right,
we'll figure it out. It'll be fine. I'm like, no. I need to make sure I'm wearing shoes that, you know, aren't going to hurt my feet. Like, I need to know, like, are we going to be walking a lot? Are we going to be outside? Am I going to need a jacket? Like, this is my life. And they're just like, I don't understand why Lindsay's being so neurotic, where I'm like, no, I need to know the plan. But again, personalities, you have to do what makes you feel comfortable and confident.
Exactly. And I completely can relate to that as well. I feel for myself that needing so much structure is something I want to slowly get away from. Just because I want to be more artistic. You know, everybody has these different areas they want to improve in, or at least I assume so. And I always want to be a little bit more free. And so I feel like structure and direction gives me room for freedom later. Like once I have a plan, I feel free to deviate from it because I already had a plan. And if something goes wrong, I know what to do to get back on the plan. But to not have a plan at all, that just my mind just goes crazy. It's like, what's going on? I don't know.
That's a really good point. So, because a lot of times, I mean, I used to never meal plan and I almost resisted it because I was like, I want to fly by the seat of my pants. I want to decide. Yeah. But I actually find I have way more free time and freedom because I meal plan now, because I'm not losing all this time racing around wondering what I'm going to do. Do I have ingredients? Like you said, I can give myself a pass to say, I'm not going to do it. But
yeah,
it's weird how like just putting in a little bit of structure makes more freedom.
It does. It's amazing. And I recently started, some individuals have asked for me to cook their meal plans for them. And so I'm like, well, I'm kind of new to this. They're like, oh, you'll be fine. So I went from like cooking like 7 meals, and it was still like a mental challenge, just for myself, to cooking 14 meals because they wanted something different, every day for several individuals. And it's this huge challenge, but I feel like I can do it because the resources are there. You know, with the meal plans, you guys have spent so much time putting it together, organizing it, making the shopping list for us. And now, because of their different tastes and stuff, I get to use those meal plans and kind of imagine the process you guys went through to do that and use those to create my own meal plans and my own shopping list and my own like order of things. And I was just thinking the other day, I was like, a year ago, I would have never imagined that I would have the mental flexibility to do this. But it's because of the structure, because of this like consistent hand holding, for as long as I wanted it, you know, it's, you know, nobody was pushing me out. And people come to me all the time. They're like, oh my gosh, have you seen this amazing website or this amazing recipe? And they show it to me and I'm like, it looks fantastic. They're like, you want to make it? I'm like, no, I'm good. And they're like, why not? I'm like, I can't do that right now. I'm like, I just need to stick with one thing. And again, other people have way more maybe mental flexibility to do that. But by limiting the amount of cookbooks I bring into my home, by limiting the amount of websites I want that I go onto about other recipes, it's freeing me to really explore the foods that are in front of me and, you know, understand like how things go together, what spices work together. And so I'm not getting distracted as much, but then it's also giving me this strength to start tweaking things just a little bit, not crazy or anything. But I feel like those meal plans have been such, I want to say lifesaver, but like a, well, basically a lifesaver because it's food, you know, it's everyday life to empower me to go in and feed myself and my husband in a way that I feel confident is in line with all the medical research that I've done. So it's just really cool to see that progress. And I wish it was faster, but at the same time, I'm really pleased. I'm like, you know, this is just the pace I'm at. That's fine. You know, this is my journey. So I love that about the meal plans and the work you guys put into it and how you organize it. And when we ask questions in the forums or on the Facebook page and how you guys get back to us so quickly, it's just amazing. I feel like you're empowering us to be able to do this for ourselves if we wanted to. There isn't this, okay, we want everyone to just use our meal plans because that's our desire. It's more of a, oh, this is a need, a true need that people have. We're going to put it out there. And if you go beyond that, how awesome, how very cool. So I think that's awesome that you guys do that for us.
Oh, that makes me so happy to hear and that it's helped you. Like, and that was kind of my whole idea with making it about a meal mentor, is to like be a tool to teach you, to empower you so that you can go out on your own in the world and have that education and that confidence. And that's one of the things I love hearing on the podcast too, is people are like, because of meal mentor, when I have to travel or go somewhere else and I can't do the meal plans, I know exactly what to eat because I've been seeing what meals look like through the meal plans. And so I know what my meal should look like. So I feel good and I don't, you know, overindulge or overeat or set myself up for failure. No self-sabotage. I know what to do.
Exactly. It's really amazing. And when other people come up to me and are like, you know, how do you make this meal more healthy? I'm able to kind of assess a little bit and be like, oh, I think these are a few tweaks. Whereas before, again, I'm just like so impressed with my own progress. Is that terrible?
No, that's awesome. Like, wow. You should be proud. You brag about it, girl. Rock it.
I was like, oh my gosh. And so all these people think I'm amazing. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I've got
Because you are amazing. It's because you are amazing. One thing you were saying that I really loved, and this is what I resonates with me as a minimalist, is less really is more. And that was one thing that I experienced on many ways, you know, from, you know, clothing, but really with food is I used to get so overwhelmed with like trying to keep up because you heard a different message every day and every day people were sending me this recipe or that recipe. And I was just getting so overwhelmed. And I had what my husband calls like analysis paralysis or like the paradox of choice. Like I was, and it's so funny, like when I go to vegan restaurants, I'm overwhelmed because I'm like, wait, there's too many choices on this menu. I just need to pick from three things. And that's why I love the meal plans. Cause I just, I'm like, I'm not overwhelmed. I'm just doing this. And I'm thank you somebody for making decisions for me, which actually is myself, but nevertheless.
Yeah. Decision fatigue is seriously real. I mean, too many choices sometimes. I mean, I love choice. I love America. I think it's the best thing ever that we have so many choices, but it's also good for me to know when I need to limit my choices for me. Right. So that's really cool.
And I see that all the time, even and when I have had to get rid of, so because of my husband's, he has like a health issue that he can't have certain foods like beans and oats, which were part of our plant-based diet for years. And when we had to get rid of those things, I was really stressed out about it because they were so integral and a part of my diet. But I've actually found a lot of joy and just even having less choice, which I know sounds crazy, but, and I ended up feeling that way about being plant-based because people are like, oh my God, don't you always feel so limited? Don't you always feel so limited? And I'm like, well, first I feel super empowered that I'm aware of everything that I'm putting in my body. I used to just shove crap in my mouth and not think about it. Now I'm very glad that I'm aware and I have like this relationship with what I'm eating. But mostly, most of the time, I just am glad not to have decision fatigue.
Yeah. There's so many other things that need our attention too.
Right. It just makes it easier when you hone in and narrow in and like, this is my main focus. And then to get to enjoy that and tweak it.
Yeah. When I was in South Carolina, I had the privilege of working with a gym that is a national chain. And, their focus was to include people that were non-gym goers. So they tried to make it really comfortable for individuals that do not ever step foot in the gym. So once a month they would have free pizza for everyone who wanted to have some at the gym. And we had like 10,000 members. It was a huge gym.
Wow.
And and I was like, this is tough. Like, so if people are new and they're coming into the gym and they're trying to make positive choices and we're bringing the pizza in, their philosophy was that you're going to eat pizza anyway, so let's make it once a month with us kind of thing. So, and I ended up managing for a while. And so you kind of have to get on board with that. But I struggled with that personally. I was like, I'm at work and I work so hard to make these positive decisions. And now there's this pizza that smells up the whole place.
Right.
And I couldn't say no. I would always have to have a slice. I've tried and tried and tried. Like I would take off the cheese. Like I would totally like a, you know, food addict. And I would always feel awful. And it was every month. And that was so hard for me to have, like, even if I did really well at home, that here I was, it would be, you know, getting late and here's this pizza and it's right in front of me. And I couldn't throw it away. I couldn't like not let it in. Like I couldn't control my environment. And I just thought that was really tough. And I think that a lot of people can relate in maybe mixed households when they can't completely control everything that's in their home. You know, thankfully my husband's gotten on board realizing how much of a food addict I am, that it's okay for me to just not buy anything that I can't enjoy without binging on it. And basically anything that the standard American diet includes, including the Oreos and the chips, I will binge on it. And so like having to control my environment has been really helpful, just not bringing it into the house. I remember listening to Bonnie's podcast about her husband putting the snacks in the gun safe. I was like, babe, we need to get you a gun safe. So we can, you know, so you can keep your stash because we keep it in the trunk of the car. I bought one of those little, on Amazon, it's called a kitchen safe. And that's a little timer.
We have one.
Refrigerated things. My husband thought it was a little bit strange that I got that. But now he loves setting it before he goes to work because he knows it'll be there when he gets back. You know, it's just, it's been And, you know, with the decision, just knowing that that's locked up and I don't even have to make that decision. It's been made for me. And so I always applaud when other people go out in social situations and they don't get tripped up. I think it's harder when you don't control your environment. And some of us, I mean, for a long time, I would just say, like, we can only eat at home because that's the only safe place for me for now. But I understand also my level of brokenness is pretty deep. You know, I was coming out of, you know, depression and all these things. And so things tripped me up pretty quickly. So I'm always encouraged by listening to other people's stories like Bonnie's. And I was like, man, look at her. That's amazing. And maintaining her weight loss for so long. I was like, wow, that's incredible. Sorry, I just went off on that.
Oh, no, I loved it. But you made so many good points. Like having control of your environment, it does make it so much easier. And that was something with me too, is I had to be like, listen, babe, I love you, but we can't have the following things in the house. And he has his own trigger food, so he understands. But I know that I'm very fortunate in that way because a lot of other members don't, you know, necessarily have that. And it's really great to hear workarounds, like how, you know, like Bonnie's husband put it in a gun safe and someone else's spouse kept it in their car. And then I know of two members, I don't think they've been on the podcast, but one has like a locker basically with like a lock, just like you would at a school. And her kids all know the combination, but she doesn't.
Nice.
And then I know a lot of members have child locks on their cabinets for them. Like their children are not that little, but it's for them. And I mean, I've heard all kinds of things from people wrapping things in tinfoil, which I find is actually very successful. Mm-hmm. Is like they wrap the stuff up in tinfoil and they just won't go to it or put it in a different place. And it was interesting because over the holidays, I had to have a lot of things in my house that I normally wouldn't because I was being tasked with making, you know, desserts or cakes or something for other people. And I was like, oh God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to have peanut butter and chocolate chips in the house? And so I would buy it that morning. I would make what I need to, and then I'd throw the rest away. And then the desserts would sit there and look at me, but I had to be like, no, you can't have that because you can't give somebody a pie that they paid for and you've eaten a slice.
Right.
So, but it's like, but I mean, a year ago, I wouldn't have even been able to do that. I would have had to just turn down the job.
You're amazing. And I feel like the longer I go without consuming oil, this is a surprise for me, the less the cravings became. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was really the oil that can really rev those up. So even if I like have really healthy, and that's, I've heard other members talk about it. Like if you want a treat, make an HH treat, like make a treat that is Happy Herbivore approved or Meal Mentor approved, where it's doesn't have all the things that will cause you to really fall.
All those addictive things that turn on the brain and tell you to go for it.
Yeah. So I go ahead and I make the donut holes and I make the brownies every once in a while. That cinnamon mug one is amazing. And that's been a helpful thing too, because before it would be like, oh, who cares? Just go ahead and get a bag of chips. And it's like, well, if you're going to have something that's not what you were anticipating to have and it's not helpful for you, why not just go ahead and make a decadent treat that won't throw you completely off? And finding that piece, but for some reason, for the longest time, there wasn't that connection. It was almost like you're either all in or you're all out. There's no little, you know, pathways to other areas. And I love that, you know, I don't like the saying to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but that's basically,
But it's true. And I'm the same way. Like the one thing I learned is the same as you, is that if I am going to go and, you know, give into a craving, I have to make the healthy version of it because I can't have the treat that has all of the trigger things in it that will just make me go even more crazier or bring back food addictions. I have to have the healthier version of it. And I'm glad you realize that too, but I'm the same way. Cause if I have one Oreo, forget it. That's it. And I know I'm one of those people where if I mess up, if I slip up, I'll be like, oh, screw it. And then I just go crazy. Cause I'm like, well, I already screwed up today. And then I've already screwed up this week. And everyone, you know, hears me say all the time that I'm like, Lindsay, stop digging the hole. Like just stop digging the hole. But that's me. Yeah. It's like, I was at an Oscars party this weekend, and I realized a little while ago that popcorn and me have a problem, because what I would do is I would make a bag of popcorn, eat it, and then I'd make like six more bags and end up with like 50 cups of popcorn. I'm not kidding. Let me tell you, there is no end to my stomach. Whoever says comfortably full hasn't met me, because I can plow through. Like, I was walking down the street the other day and I saw this thing and said, all you can eat sushi, and I literally said outside, don't you test me. Like, don't you test me. But anyway, going back to the Oscars party, I've learned that I can't have popcorn, because if I have just one kernel, I'm going to eat the whole bowl and then everybody else's. And so I was like staring it down. But I knew. I was like, I kept telling myself, I was like, Lindsay, if you have even one, you're going to eat the whole bag, and then you're going to make all the other bags, and then you're going to start taking it off other people's plates. So you need to just not even have the one piece. And stop. And the same thing happened. I didn't. I was really proud of myself. But then the same thing happened at a party, is I was like, okay, I'm not going to have the brownie, because I know where this is going to go. And I ate the brownie, and then I ate a second brownie. And then I was like, well, I've already screwed up so bad. Let's go over to the chip bowl. And I was like, right. Stop digging. Just stop digging the hole. Climb out.
That's my life. And when you mentioned the comfortably full, that reminded me too, like, same as you, there's that sensor is just on off. Like, I don't even know. Like, I think the wiring is off a little bit. And it's been really helpful to do the intermittent fasting to teach myself that it's okay to be hungry, like truly hungry. Like, I'm not going to die. People aren't going to die. Like, it's just hunger. And like, for some reason, and I think in the mindless eating book, it's, you know, it's covered too. You know, it's so much more social now. Eating is so social, and like, there's almost a fear of being hungry. And so starting to like be comfortable with it, not like starve, but oh, okay, I'm hungry. I'm going to be eating soon. I mean, it's the same thing that I tell little kids, right? Oh, I'm really hungry. Oh, it's close to lunchtime, so we're not going to have a snack. And they're like, okay. And then they go play. And they're like, why don't I do the same thing?
Exactly. You know? You have to parent yourself. You really do. Exactly. You have to parent yourself. And that happened to me. Like, I was getting ready to come on this podcast with you, and I was like, oh, I'm hungry. I should go have a snack. And then I'm like, wait, it's 3 o'clock. I'm going to have dinner in 2 hours. It's okay. I can wait. And like, intermittent fasting gave me that. Because before, I would have freaked out. At the littlest twinge of hunger, I'd been like, ooh, gotta eat. Oh my God, I'm hungry. Oh my God, oh my God. Now I'm just like, it's cool.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. Well, you know, I just did have a big meal. Maybe I'm not hungry. Maybe it's emotional hunger. Or, oh, well, yeah, I'm hungry, but, you know, I don't want to ruin my dinner. My mom said that to me every day as a kid. No, Lindsay, you're going to ruin your supper. I need to now say this to myself.
Right? You're like, wisdom. Oh, awesome wisdom. But yeah, it's almost like and also I used to use hunger as permission to eat anything.
Yes!
Well, I'm really hungry. So, you know, anything goes. And so trying to take the power out of hungry, you know, hungry is just a thing. It's not something more powerful than my health. You know, it's not more powerful than, you know, the food that I've already prepared, you know, like all these different things, and putting it into place instead of giving it so much power in my life. I'm like,
and that was me too. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm hungry. I can't be hungry. So I need to eat immediately, which was always junk food or fast food, something that I could open a package and put it in my mouth. And I'm like, you know what? You can wait until your next meal, or at the very least, you can wait until you find a banana or an apple or a potato. You can wait 10 minutes to cook the potato in the microwave. But you know, it's like, you have to teach yourself. And a lot of times, if I go do something else, I go make a phone call, I check my email, or as I tell everyone, go clean the toilet, I magically in 10 minutes don't even remember that I'm hungry.
The power of distraction, right? Oh, so good. So good. Yeah, I find that when I'm around a lot of people, I don't care much about food. And it's very much, you know, I'm alone and it's usually getting late. I'm bored. I don't have much energy because I'm not around people to take their energy. And so it's like, oh, it's, and finding out. A nice balance. And I don't know, I feel like I talk to myself a lot more.
Always having conversations with myself in my brain. I'm like, you're not hungry. You need to just go for a walk. Like, you're just, you need to not put that down. Don't put that in your mouth. Stop putting that in your mouth.
Yeah.
Like someone shared this meme on like in the forums or something. It's like, I don't need a personal trainer so much as I need someone walking around slapping food out of my hand. I'm like,
I love that one.
Yes, that's my life. That's me saying, Lindsay, stop it. Lindsay, no. Lindsay. Yeah, yeah. But no, you have to parent yourself. That's the lesson of the day. Parent yourself.
That's amazing.
I'm telling you, it works. I do it all the time. I like envision my mother telling me not to ruin my supper. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's that. Yeah. Well, it has been so awesome having you on. And there was so much more we could talk about. I mean, your husband's an omnivore and mixed households are always a problem. So I think that just means, you know, the universe will have to let us come back together. And a testament, the universe exploded by our love fest and disconnected us quickly at a point. But we, you know, we'll fix that in the post production. Yeah. But anyway, it's been fantastic. So awesome having you on, Karen. If you want to learn more, visit gapmealplans.com. Join our amazing Meal Metric community. Karen's a long, long, long time member, and she's one of our amazing members. But there's so many great people. I can't ever get them all on the podcast, but I'm glad I can, you know, finagle them sometimes to come join me and fly the skies. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, please consider leaving a review. I always appreciate it. I know my co-pilots like Karen like to hear warm fuzzies as well. But thanks again to Karen for joining us. And I'll see you guys next time for episode 15. Talk soon.